Hello, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. It's time for our midweek Bible study. Let's Talk About Jesus is the title of this broadcast, this time that we are living in. If there's ever been a time when we need to focus upon Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, for the encouragement we need, for the emboldenedness that we need to stand true and keep the faith, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, as the Scriptures teach us. It literally means to set your gaze, not glancing at Him when we're in trouble or have a close call or have some immediate need in our life. Not just glancing at Him occasionally, but setting our gaze upon Him. For He is the author, the finisher, the Alpha and the Omega of our faith today. We're glad that you've joined us today in this very troubled time to take time out of the busyness of life, the responsibilities of life, all the circumstances of life in a faulty body, in a fallen world, with a formidable foe in the devil. But I'm telling you, we have a faithful Father, and we're going to set our focus upon our Heavenly Father, His faithfulness, and His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, today. Hallelujah. Let's set our gaze upon Him as we get into the teaching today. I want to talk to you about an important subject today. I want to talk to you about the title, really, of our teaching. And I'll give a preface to this before we go to the Scripture. No fence to straddle. No fence to straddle. You've often heard, and I have too, the term about straddling the fence, having one foot on one side and one foot on the other. Literally, in the church community and the Christian community, one foot in the world and one foot in the church. We see this acted out when people get out of church. It's not what we do in church, how faithfully we come, which many do not even do that, and how faithful we are when we go out into the marketplace of the world, when we work side by side with unsaved people, I'm not talking about being super sanctimonious. I'm not talking about being self-righteous and self-exalting and condescending and looking down on everyone else. I'm simply talking about living what we believe, keeping the faith. See, there's really no fence to straddle. We can't do that. Many seem to think that as a Christian, we can somehow identify with Jesus while simultaneously identifying with the world. And through that identification with the world, the Bible said that the whole world lieth in wickedness, literally under the direct, distinct influence of the devil. In reality, the Scriptures teach us that it's impossible to straddle the fence like this. Jesus declares, you cannot. I want to emphasize that. You cannot serve two masters, because you will love one and hate the other, or you will love one and despise the other. And then He went on to say, and it's found in Matthew 6. I'm going to read that. I'll take time. Matthew 26, 24 and 25. Jesus said, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's the first time in Scripture, the very first time in Scripture, where material wealth is given a name, mammon. If you look that up, a common definition of mammon is wealth regarded as an evil influence or a false object of worship and devotion. It was taken by medieval writers as the name of the devil of covetousness. Now, here's what the Bible has to say in the New Testament about covetousness. It speaks of covetousness, being covetous, as the same as an idolater. When money and material gain become the object of our energy, all of our focus, all of our efforts are put toward that, like the scripture said, they that would be rich. It's not condemning riches per se, but they that literally make riches the ultimate goal of their life for whatever fulfillment they believe it's going to give them. It says they fall into many hurt, deceitful snares and sins and hurtful sins. It's going to bring ultimate destruction because we're trying to serve two masters. And ultimately, we will love one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So the real issue of the teaching today is it's time to get off the fence if you're on it. And if you identify with Jesus, it's time to behave what we believe. Someone has truly said, if Jesus isn't Lord of everything, He's not truly Lord of anything. According to the scripture, therefore, there are only two distinct classifications of people on this earth, children of the darkness and children of the light. We are saved today, right at this very moment, or we are lost today. And we are either children of God through faith in Jesus Christ, or we are children of the devil. Jesus said to those who were not children of God and rejected the offer to become children of God, He said, "You are of your father the devil, and his works you will do." There is no gray area, no in-between. That's why there can never, ever be any compromise on this vital issue today. Let's look at the scriptures for this teaching today in 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11. It said, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, I have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness." See, if you're really born again, born from above, baptized into Jesus by the Holy Spirit, not just baptized in water so you can join the church. I want to say that again. The Bible says, the scriptures in the New Covenant, we are baptized as a true Christian, baptized by one Spirit into one body. And that body is identified as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We become His members in particular. Praise God. And then we're baptized in water to represent that spiritual operation that has occurred. It's called regeneration in the scripture. Amen. Listen, you're not children of darkness. Listen, we are children of light. "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light, the children of the day, and not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of right faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do." Amen. That's why we have the other scripture, isn't it? It's not just about going to church to get a number count, to meet the budget, to build the new building. No, we come to church for a reason, a very important reason. We gather together for a reason, and we're told to not forsake the gathering of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but much more as, listen, it's as we see the day approaching. We're not children of the darkness. We shouldn't be asleep. We should be on high alert. Jesus is coming soon, and the day of the Lord hasteneth greatly according to the scripture. And friend of mine, I am so glad to be a Christian today, not for all the wealth of the world that I can accumulate by operating some formula to get wealth in the Bible. Listen, there's a teaching today that's going to make you earthbound, that's going to make you more concerned about the material and the physical than the spiritual and the eternal. That doesn't mean that God won't bless you. God may make you wealthy, but if He does, He will do it not because you set out for that, because He couldn't trust you with it. It would ruin you. It would be your ruin, just like it's been the ruin of so many people, because you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve two masters. And believe me, either we allow Christ to master us and be the Lord of our life, or we allow sin and Satan to master us. And maybe we're not a devil worshiper that bows down to Lucifer and his demons, but we may be worshipers and covetous of all that the world tempts us with. That's why when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, Satan showed him the kingdoms of the world, and he said, "Bow down and worship me, and it's within my power to give you all of this wealth." See, it's not money in itself. It is the love of, the covetousness for. That's the real issue. That's the trap of it. And I'm not advocating that we all live poor and do without. David said it in the old covenant, "I'm young and I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed out begging bread." God is going to take care of his own. If the kingdom is first, because the king is first. All these things that we need are going to be added unto us. And we won't spend our life grappling, pushing, shoving, spending all of our time and energy and even our money trying to get more. If we have Jesus, we're going to find a contentment and a peace and a joy and a hope that all the wealth of the world could never give us. Praise God. And having food and raiment then, the basics of life, we should therewith be content. I think that's the real formula for getting more, is being content with what you have, and God knowing that you're so content in Christ and with salvation and the hope of escaping the wrath to come, that we have to hold tight to, and to hold tight to us is a greater wealth than anything that the world could ever offer us. Listen, we're either children of God or children of the devil. There's no gray area. And if we love the world, we're loving the system that Satan controls. And inadvertently, without maybe recognizing it, we are bowing to him instead of Jesus Christ. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, the scriptures declare. Love not the world nor the things. And we're not talking about the earth that God made initially good and made beautiful, and the heavens are the Lord's, and the earth He's made for man. And He made a beautiful planet here. And there's so many things He created that we're awestruck by. The great national forest, the great Grand Canyon, other countries, the mountains, the Swiss Alps. I mean, He made the earth beautiful. Sin entered and corrupted a perfect, beautiful world, and corrupted man, a perfect, beautiful, made in the image of God creation. Oh, friend of mine, but there is an antidote for sin, and it is the blood of Jesus Christ applied today. Jesus supplied it, but only you and I can apply it by receiving Christ as our Savior and becoming His disciple. Amen. We're not just told to win souls so we can have more people, more families committed to the building program of the church. We're told to go into all the world and make disciples unto Him. True followers of Jesus, hallelujah, will represent a different kingdom because they bow to a different king. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's a Christian song introduced a few years ago that was entitled, I'm Going to Live What I Believe. This, therefore, is God's call to His people today, His children, to walk in the light, day people in a darkened world. Day people in a darkened world. If you're a true Christian, there are three distinctives that mark you as a day person. A son or a daughter of the light. Number one, you and I have a new identity. 1 Thessalonians 5:4-5. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all, no exception, the children of light and the children of the day, and not of the night or the darkness. One translation says you are all sons of the light. I like that. The first thing Paul wants us to know is that we have a new identity because of Jesus. Look at verse 5. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. Notice again, he says you are all. It's all. You talk about inclusion. Yes, indeed. For the Christians that are truly born from above, born again, there are really no categories of Christians. You're either in the light or you're in the darkness. If you know Christ as your personal Savior, you and I are sons of the light. Hallelujah. And we overcome because we put on the armor of light. And there's no contest when light comes in contact and conflict with the darkness. The light has shined into the darkness. The darkness comprehendeth it not. The smallest little candle will dispel the darkness. The darkness can't put out that light, but that light can dispel the darkness. The Prince of Darkness has no claim on us. We have been completely delivered from his dark domain. Colossians 1:12-13, it says, giving thanks to the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, from the world, you see. For the whole world lies under the influence of the wicked one, the scriptures teach, lies in wickedness or the power of darkness. Because the prince of darkness is the one ruling. That's why we put on this armor of light, or the armor of God, as we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we don't argue against flesh and blood, but powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Friend of mine, recognize that we cannot serve two masters. We can't love the world and identify with the world and have our values reflect the exact values of the world and identify with Jesus Christ. We can't straddle the fence. We should never even consider it. And if we are a true Christian and we're not straddling the fence, we need to commit ourselves to following Jesus in a deep devotion and a holy resolve. Hallelujah. I like this scripture. I will read this again. Colossians 1:12-13. Giving thanks to the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Glory be to God. We are no more imprisoned in the darkness of deception. We are no longer chained in the darkness of depravity. We are no longer captives of spiritual death. I like a translation of this that said, "For he hath rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." In the Bible, darkness represents ignorance, spiritual blindness, and wickedness. As sons of the light, we have all the blessings and privileges associated with being sons of the King. That's why we're in his kingdom, because a kingdom is where a king reigns in undisputed authority. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's his kingdom where he reigns. And in every one of us, we are in the kingdom and the kingdom is in us. Praise God. And we are to actually pray, "Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Yes, and in earth, in us, in these clay vessels as well. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Hallelujah. You are my Lord. You are my Master. And I'm glad to be a doulos. I'm glad to be a servant of the Most High God today, without apology. How about you? Amen. Glory to God. The first step in living what we believe as children of light is to understand that we have a new identity. Hallelujah. 1 John 3:2. Listen, beloved, now, if you're a Christian today, now, right in this holy moment, the moment you became a true believer, a true child of God, you were brought out of that other kingdom. You were delivered from that other king, the small g God of this world, and you begin to serve and bow to the God, hallelujah, of the universe, the God of light. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Amen. But now in this moment, we are the sons of God. We're not just sinners saved by grace, still under the power of the evil one, with some kind of power to make us do his bidding. No, we've been translated out, hallelujah, of his kingdom, his domain, his influence, and his authority. We're not children of the devil compelled to do his works. We're children of God desiring to do his will. Glory be to God. One scholar of scripture paraphrases it this way, "But friends, that's exactly who we are, children of God, and that's only the beginning. Who knows how we'll end up, but we know when Jesus is openly revealed, we'll see him, and in seeing him, we will become like him. Sons of light are sons of God." Hallelujah. And we have a new identity as children of light. We identify with God's kingdom, with the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And that's why we're to prioritize our life, reset our priorities in life and our goals in life, to put the kingdom of God first by putting Jesus first in our life. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Amen. God will take care of us. God will bless us. I believe God will prosper us. But I do not envy the world. I'm not coveting what the world has. I don't want what Hollywood is selling their soul to get. And I don't want it as a Christian if it's going to in any way detract from my focus on the kingdom that is eternal instead of this kingdom that is under the judgment of God, under the justifiable anger or wrath of God. Amen. The tribulation is coming upon this world, but Jesus is coming back to this earth for His bride and His church. And I want to be one of those that has oil in my lamp. We used to sing that camp meeting song, "Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning until the light of day, until the Son of Righteousness appears." Hallelujah. Praise God. But until that day, we occupy until He comes. Praise God. Friend of mine, our time is gone for this allotted Bible study, but we're not done with this subject today. It's time for everyone who identifies with Jesus to make sure we're not straddling the fence, because we can't truly serve two masters. We cannot do that, and we must not fall for the lie that we can. If you straddle the fence today, you're taking your stand against the cross and the Christ who died on it, because you're wanting to hang on to that you cannot keep, and give up that you can never lose. Praise God. Listen, friend, today also, if you are not a Christian, today I know the Lord is talking to you. I know the Lord is calling you. I know the Lord wants to bring you into His kingdom and set you free from the prison of darkness and from the prince of darkness. Today is the day of salvation. This is the accepted time. Now is the time to come to God. Now is the time to come to Jesus who died for you, to repent of your sin and bow before Him and receive Him and accept Him as your Lord and your Savior, your Sovereign and your King. And when He comes for His own, hallelujah, He'll come for you, and He will take you and keep you safe from the wrath to come. There's nothing the world could ever offer that is more important, more precious, more powerful than what God has made available to you and me. So don't run deeper into that darkness. Come to Christ that He might translate you out and bring you in. Hallelujah. And join the family of God that are looking, hoping, waiting patiently for the soon return of our Sovereign and Savior, Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus. And Christian, if you're a true Christian, you're not on the fence. You're on the Lord's side today. Let's stand strong. Let's stand tall. Let's stand true, that when He returns, He will find us faithful. In Jesus' name.